Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. While many are interested in church membership, there is such a mass of unwarranted and unnecessary confusion on this subject. This, like most other religious matters, is because people consult just about any and every source for information except the Bible. And people use the words members of the church so flippantly and often unscripturally, with little understanding of what the Bible really teaches about it. Are you impressed with the importance of being a member of the church? Now, sadly, many are not. But it is second to none in matters of importance, and when we learn what the Scripture teaches about it, we cannot escape that conclusion. But so many take it so lightly. They consider it as something comparable to being a member of some club or a friendly association, or maybe like a fraternal order, a professional group, something no more important than that. They do not consider it to be very useful or necessary in serving God if you choose not to belong. As a result, they do not make good church members. On the other hand, some appear to think that having your name on some roll that designates that you're a member of some church is all that matters. As some do not give the matter sufficient importance, others place too much confidence in simply being considered a member of the church. Now, our motive for being a church member must not be simply to please other people, and not for material gain, and not just because it may be good for business. What we do in matters of religion, friend, must be done with a motive of pleasing God, regardless of what others say, do, or think. We must be church members out of conviction, not just because it may be convenient or the accepted thing in some circles of society. Church membership, according to the Bible, does not mean being a member of just some church, any church, or a church. We're talking about being a member of the church, and this point is where many stumble. They have comforted themselves in the fact that they belong to something called a church and have concluded that that is all that matters, but this is false. Christ built only one church. Upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. Please note the word church is in the singular. He is the head of the church. The church is his body, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. And as is true of all normal bodies, the church has but one head, and the head is over one body. Paul said there is one body, Ephesians 4:4, and it's made up of many members. We are the members of his body, Ephesians 5:30. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, "But now are they many members, yet one body." And who are these members? Friend, they are not denominations. You read nothing in the Bible presenting the Lord's church in terms of denominations. Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth and identified the members, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular," 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. Again, he wrote to those in Rome, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." So you see, the church is composed of people, but indeed a very distinct people. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ in Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Christ is the bridegroom, John 3:29. "And as there is one husband and one bride, so there is one Christ and his one church." Now there are many churches in existence, but not all by the authority of the Lord, to be sure. Christ is no spiritual bigamist with many brides. His church began on the first Pentecost after his resurrection, Acts chapter 2, and it is revealed to us in the Bible. There is only one body for which he died, Ephesians 5:25, and only one of which he will save, Ephesians 5:23. Therefore, we're interested in membership in the Lord's church. This truth, that there is only one church, is a barrier that many have not yet been able to overcome. Maybe having been reared in a denominational concept all their lives, they find it difficult to accept what the Bible teaches about the singularity of the church. But acceptance or rejection of truth does not alter it. Now let us consider the significance of church membership. All members of the church are the spiritual children in God's family. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, it defines the church as the house of God, by which this means the family of God. God is the Father, we are His children. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. Christ is our elder brother in this analogy, and we are joint heirs with Him. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Now how important is it to be in God's family? Can we be saved and not be God's child? Why, certainly not. So the significance of church membership is becoming very obvious, isn't it? To be a member of the church means that we are in Christ. Well, that's where salvation is, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Salvation is by no other than Christ, Acts 4 and verse 12. Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There simply is no way to be in Christ and outside of His body. But to be in His body is to be in His church, because that's what the church is, the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, 22, 23, Colossians 1 and verse 18. So being in Christ, that's what it means to be in the church. And how does one get into Christ or into His body? Why, Galatians 3 and verse 27 teaches, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ." You see, we're baptized into Christ. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13, Paul wrote, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit." You see, by the instructions given through the Spirit, we are baptized into the one body, which is the church. Baptism puts us into Christ. And the same baptism that puts us in the church puts us into Christ. The baptism that puts us into Christ puts us in the church. Friend, is it not obvious why church membership is so important? We simply cannot be saved out of Christ. And to be in Christ is to be in His body, the church. You may recall that the word church comes from a word meaning the called out. The Lord's church is composed of people. People who have first been called. And we are called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. We have been called out of a life of sin into a life of righteousness. We are called to be saints, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. We are called to liberty, that's spiritual liberty, Galatians 5 and 13. We are called to hope, Ephesians 4, 4. And we are called into the one body, Colossians 3 and verse 15. "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness," 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ," 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7. Again, Paul said, "Wherefore come ye out from among them," that's the call of the gospel, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. So we're called out of the world, into the realm of the saved. The church is composed of just such people. Hence, the importance and significance of church membership. We must keep before us the fact that to be in the church means to be one of the saved, because that's what the church is. The saved compose the church. The Lord adds the saved to the church, Acts 2:47. The church is that body that Christ has promised to save, Ephesians 5:23. He offers to save everyone, but only those faithful in His church will be saved in heaven. To be in Christ means to be in the church, but to be in Christ means to be a new creature. Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, we are born of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, John 3:3-5. When one is born, he is a new creature. From these verses, we see that being in the church, being in Christ, being in the kingdom, being a new creature, why, it refers to the same spiritual state or condition. Could one expect to be saved as the old man of sin or as the new creature in Christ? Why, the answer is plain. We must be born again. Therefore, we can see the significance of being in the church, just as we can see the significance of being in Christ, the significance of being in the kingdom, the significance of being a new creature. And being in the church, it is to be in the kingdom. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, Paul told those Christians that God hath delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Those delivered from darkness are those in the kingdom. They were the ones who were in the church. They were the ones who were in Christ, Colossians 1, verse 1. The necessity of being in the kingdom is stressed in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24, where we learn that when Christ comes again, he will deliver up the kingdom to the Father. Therefore, my beloved, unless we're in the kingdom, we will not be among those delivered to the Father. Now, that ought to be easily understood. But being in the kingdom, being in Christ, being new creatures, being one of the same, being in the church, these are simply varying ways of expressing the same thing. Therefore, how can one miss the obvious significance and importance of being a member of the church? We now turn our attention to how one becomes a member of the church. In the book of Acts, a book wherein are recorded several instances of conversion to Christ, we see that the process of conversion consisted of hearing the gospel, believing in Christ, repenting of sins, confessing faith in Christ, followed by being baptized into Christ. Romans 10:17, faith cometh of hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The same Lord said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Paul wrote, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10. Peter preached, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 and verse 38. And those who did those very things, they heard the word, they believed the word, they obeyed the word, they were added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. They were not put forward and others voted on them whether they would be in the church. Never do we read anything like that in Scripture. They were not made members by something their parents had done in the days of their infancy. They were not made members of the church by some kind of direct operation of the Holy Spirit. They did not do one thing to be saved and something extra or something different to become members of some church. What they did to be saved is precisely, exactly, and simultaneously what was done for them to become a member of the Church of Christ. And once one has become a member of the church, he assumes the responsibilities that belong to living a Christ-like life. This includes work, worship, righteous living, indeed being a light in the world and a city set on a hill and the salt of the earth. He busies himself continually doing those things that are needful to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, as 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 teaches. Actually, the matter of church membership is not confusing. It's not difficult to grasp. When one confines his study to the Bible and allows his conception of it to be molded by a thus saith the Lord. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.